2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hey, this is Frank Sasso coming at you on the Who's Your Daddy Godcast. I'd like to welcome all of the partners, visitors.
What visitors? are there visitors?
I don't know. Friends, family.
Do you have somebody coming?
And also the first time visitor just tuning in. Hey, there's this altercation going on in the parking lot here.
Yeah.
What's happening? Like, oh, they're friendly. All right. They're friendly. No, they're friends. Okay. Well, as you can already hear, we have a very special episode today with Keith Axum. Hello, Keith.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Very special episode. I actually almost want to call it a VSE. It's a VSE, a VSP.
Oh, put an acronym to it. Puts an edge on it.
Yeah. I want to say a VSP.
VSP.
Very special ep. A VSP?
Ep?
No. Huh? Episode as an episode. An ep.
Well, you know? Either, right? What? P doesn't connotate anything. It's VSP.
Well, it's in the word episode. EP.
Well, why not use, like, any other letter
use
then?
Use the O.
When I use I, I's in there too.
There's no I in episode.
EPISODE.
Oh, EPI. Right. Oh my goodness. All right.
Or okay. D. You could use D. You could use E. You could use any of those.
It's a very special episode.
Okay, it's very special.
A VSE.
All right.
How's that?
You can tell it's early.
Let's just say VSE. The heck with P.
Drink my coffee here.
Okay. We have a very special episode.
A VSE.
Coming at you today. I think this is going to be one for the books.
Yeah, it's one of those things people say. One for the books. That one was one for the books.
And what we're going to do on today's episode is very, very different from anything we've ever done before.
Hold on, very different.
Very, very. This is groundbreaking stuff we're doing.
I haven't done anything like this. This is totally, radically different.
Hey, I just heard one of the listeners ask, where are they? Well, we are in Starbucks parking lot, 6:30 in the morning. That's why we're so punchy.
And there's a cow over there, but today's not cow tipping day.
So. No, and he's laying down anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't it bad when they lay down? Is that like a, not a, or is that a horse?
Doesn't it mean it's going to rain?
It means it's going to rain?
Laying down, yeah. I think. It's a little country wisdom. Yeah.
You're from the country, right?
It's like the Farmer's Almanac.
Well, hey, before
you ever hear of the Farmer's Almanac?
I've heard of that. I'm not really sure what that is.
Didn't you think it was a bunch of farmers that got together and looked at all the animals, and they looked at the caterpillars, and they saw, you know,
they
how
looked
thick
at the
their
animals
skin was.
And the caterpillars.
Well, you know, all the animals.
Right.
You know, they're farmers,
and insects,
right? They're out there in the boonies, so
right.
they're doing the farmy thing.
I never gave it
that. And then they figured out from looking at the animals and nature and everything how the winter was going to be.
Oh, I didn't say how the winter was going to be. No, there was a contest amongst the animals.
The winter. You know, the farmers. The Farmer's Almanac. The farmers all the...
Oh, no! Just spilled coffee all over Keith.
Hey,
sorry.
Latte breath.
I got excited about the animal contest.
You did.
And who the winner was going to be.
Holy cow. Those farmers got you going over there.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Oh, my goodness. Look at
this. Is this one where our wives are going to say, were they drunk on this?
A mess. Anyway, I'm sorry.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
And we're there off. You go. And we're
it's,
good.
The day hasn't started
it
yet.
It seems okay. Oh, so, man, you ruined my whole latte.
Until you spill a latte on me. The day just hasn't started.
Anyway.
But, yeah.
You no, I've never given it that much thought, actually.
I always thought it was farmers getting together, but it was a guy named Farmer.
Oh, that's his last name?
Yeah, they put together the almanac.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I never knew that.
Isn't that
wow.
kind of crazy?
Like a little trivial
it's a little,
pursuit here
little
today.
Fun fact. Like the farmers out there worshiping God, I thought, hey, look at the animal, you know, because he's, you know, he has a certain appearance. Then
right, his tail's the, going to the left.
Yeah, now, means, now that means that you know, we have that kind of, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just Bill Farmer saying, hey, here's what I think.
It's the farmer.
And he put it in a manuscript.
Yeah. So there. Those are my thoughts on it.
Yeah, so what's going on with you? How's everything going?
Not that I'm disparaging the Farmer's Almanac in any way.
No, I think it's one of the greatest things ever, on it, right? ever made.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Any testimonies you want to share?
Testimonies!
You know, because through the years that... Through the years, you've never let me down. You've turned my life around. The sweetest days I've had with
don't
you.
Know the words.
I know the words. I'm singing the right words.
I know the years words. Through the years.
I know the years part of
through the years. Through the years. That's about it.
Let me down.
That's
what was
it.
I even saying?
I don't know.
How did we get on that?
What were you saying?
Oh, totally forgot what I was about to say. Anyway,
something
sorry.
Critically important.
Anyway, so no.
something crucial.
We've known each other for a long time now.
We have.
It feels like 30 years. Probably been about 10.
Yeah. 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Well, it doesn't feel like a long time in a bad way. I feel like, you know, we've just known each other for like a long time. And we've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Been through a lot of stuff. I guess that's where I was going.
Okay.
Wanted to know if there was anything you wanted to share. But if not, then we can get right onto our very special episode.
It was the best year in every way. It was the best year physically. It was the best year financially. It was the best relationally for seeing God's power come to fruition.
Mm.
People saved, healed, delivered. It was the best
year.
Oh,
amen.
It was the best year. 2016 was the best year.
Was the best year.
Yep.
Absolutely. Amen. I want to dedicate this very special episode to Norton.
All right.
Norton is Keith's dog who went on to glory, right?
Yes, yes.
And he's running around probably with one of my dogs up there.
In October, yeah.
But this was October 2015.
Right. Yep.
So Norton, we dedicate this episode to you, this very special episode.
Dedicated to Norton.
Okay, let's. Why don't we start? Very special episode entitled...
Bible or Bull.
Okay.
The heavy-duty snorting
that sounded
going
like,
on there.
That sounded like it cost about $1 million to produce.
That was
okay.
Interesting.
So you are going to be the facilitator, and I will sit back with
you're
podcastia.
Like the audience.
Yeah,
you're
I will sit back with the listeners.
There.
I will play along with the listeners. Okay, Mr. Axum, you have the floor.
All right, I have the floor. I have the questions. They're hermetically sealed.
They're hermetically sealed.
Let me open this.
You keep them fresh. I'm glad you opened them.
Yeah. Well, they're open now. Mm. Remember the old Johnny Carson thing?
Yes. Go ahead.
So here is question one.
Question one.
Question one.
This is the maiden voyage of...
Bible or bull.
You know, I'm going to be milking that thing. I'm going to be milking that intro.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that'll be good. Here's the first question.
Here we go.
Okay. Or the first statement.
So I have to figure out if this is in the Bible
You as the audience, yeah.
Or if it's bull.
Right.
Okay.
You have to figure out if it's in the Bible or if it's bull.
Okay, listeners, help me out here.
Okay.
Here we go.
God is good all the time, or is God ever bad? Bible or bull?
So wait, so you're asking me, I'm asking if this is in the Bible?
Yes. That God is good all the time. Biblically speaking, this is all stuff that we can find in the Bible.
Evidence that he's good, or is that particular line that it says God
no,
is good?
No, this is evidence.
Oh, so we're looking for. I gotcha. Okay, I see where this is going.
Yes, is this
okay,
true?
So this isn't like. Biblically speaking. Is this a scripture or is it not in the Bible as a scripture?
Right, right.
Okay.
And
okay,
some
so
of these are
that,
some of these
this.
Are a little. They make you think a little bit.
I don't even need Podcastia's help. I can answer this.
Yeah.
There is evidence that what you're saying is biblically accurate and it is true. You can find evidence of God being good all the time and evidence that he's never bad. Is that right?
Which they're kind of the same.
Well, of course. Most of our content
time.
Is all
yeah.
the
time. Yeah.
It's always
he's always good. He's not bad.
So, yes or no?
Well,
did
I
get it right
to
or
me?
Well,
I think that's Bible.
Facilitating.
Yes, I'm facilitating. Because you know how people say God is good all the time, all the time. God
right,
is good.
Right.
God is good all the time.
Right.
So, I don't think people always know that.
Well, you look at the Old Testament, and if you were to just read that,
it's pretty bloody.
Face value,
it's bloody stuff.
It's like he was like, you know,
a lot of people getting killed and taken out.
Right.
Women, children.
A lot of blood.
Cattle. The Old Testament was very gory.
Yeah, but you have to read it with the Holy Spirit.
And there's also a lot of grace in the Old Testament. A lot of grace.
Yes, a lot of grace.
People tend not to see it, but a lot of grace in the Old Testament.
This is true.
But we know
got one right.
That his goodness endures forever, right?
It endures forever.
He'll never leave you or forsake you.
No.
Delights in the prosperity of his servant.
Wait a minute. Are these more questions?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going ahead.
No, this is just God is good.
Right. It's showing evidence that he
came to give you abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
John 10:10,
in its
one
fullness.
Of my favorite scriptures.
Yes, I love that.
And throughout the Bible, there's a vein of God's goodness.
A vein.
A vein. That's the vein running through the
V-E-I-N.
The V-E-I-N. Yeah.
Okay.
Not V-A-N-E. It's like weather vein.
All right, man. We go back to the Farmer's Almanac. Let me check out what this means. The Farmer's.
So God is good.
Yes.
We know it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should know it.
Everyone
should know it.
The problem is,
I think a lot of believers don't even believe that God is good
absolutely.
All the time.
Matter of fact, that's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievers, you know, if they knew God was good all the time, they'd look at God differently.
Oh, they'd pursue God.
Yeah, religion has messed up those people.
Amen.
All right, so that was the first question.
Okay, all right. Out of this,
got
right
one under the belt.
Here we go. Come
under
on.
The belt.
You and me.
Okay, ready?
Go.
Ready for this? I think you're going to know this one.
I hope so.
I'm going to throw it out anyway.
We'll see.
In the Bible,
I'll give the listeners a chance to.
In the Bible, an axe head floated.
In the Bible, the axe head floated.
There was a time when an axe head floated, because axe heads are pretty heavy, right?
I'm going to give Podcaster a second here. Podcaster is not answering. Okay, I'm going to say yes. That is in the Bible. The axe head did float, and I'm trying to remember where. I know it's Old Testament. Was it Elijah?
It was Elijah.
Oh, cool. It was Elijah.
Yeah.
The axe head floated. Now, it's not like he threw it in and it floated.
Actually...
It came up from the bottom, didn't it? Yeah, wasn't there a guy, like, cutting down a tree or something? And he borrowed the axe and it fell into the water?
Yes.
And I lost my axe! And he would say, well, where is it? Where did it fall?
Yeah. He was like, I borrowed that one.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't mine. And then Elisha asked him where it fell.
Right. He
threw
a branch or something into the water.
Right.
And then it floated up. Yeah, it was already in the bottom of the water.
Right.
Right, right. It floated up. Right.
So an axe head floating. That is Bible.
Yes!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, that's
yes.
right. That's what I'm talking about.
Axe head.
Yeah, come on.
Did float. All right, I know you're going to enjoy this one.
Let's see.
This next one.
Wait, I'm going to take a sip of coffee first.
Ready? Are you ready
for
this one?
Okay, here we go. Come on.
You ready?
I'm ready.
That's a good one.
Here we go.
Considering some of the other discussions we've had.
Yeah.
There's evidence in the Bible of a man flying.
No. Wait a minute. When you say flying, do you mean as a mode of transportation, or does ascending count?
A man flying, like Superman.
Like Superman.
Like Superman.
I'm going to say no.
I would say that's bull.
Oh, okay. Is it right? Is that bull or a Bible?
Well, I'm saying that's bull.
Yes!
not
BS.
Wait. I know where. I know where you were coming from, because Jesus was taken up, right?
Yeah, so it was...
And they saw him, they watched him.
They watched him
go up. They watched him ascend.
And people watched Superman ascend in the comic books and in the movies.
To me, Jesus wasn't flying. I mean, he was ascended. He was being called up to heaven. He wasn't flying.
So he... Could you say he was floating? Like the axe head? Not unlike the axe head. Jesus floated.
It was kind of rising.
Yeah, I would call that flight.
You know how Elijah was taken up.
Yes, in the chariot
of fire.
But he wasn't flying. He was in the chariot.
He wasn't flying.
Because I thought of that too.
Right.
I don't know about Enoch.
Enoch was not.
He was.
So he was and he was not. That's all.
Yeah, I heard this guy say about Enoch once that God and Enoch were walking along, and God said to Enoch, "You know what, Enoch? You're a lot closer to my house than you are your house. Why don't you just come home with me?" And Enoch was like, "All right." And then Enoch was no more, it says.
Kind of a Star Wars.
And neither were the Ewoks, for that matter. That movie, the newest movie, I wasn't that crazy about. Anyway, I'll go off on that. But I don't know about Enoch. I don't know if he ascended or vanished.
If we don't know, we don't know. I
mean, became invisible.
Yeah.
That's
another one of our...
That's another one of our powers I would want.
Visibility.
We should do a superhero episode one day.
I know.
And line it up with the word.
I know.
no flight. At least I don't know. If anybody out there knows of any instance where anybody flew in the Bible, I'm talking about flight, from point A to point B, flying there.
They flew from here to there. They got
now.
They flew over
being
here.
Translated. That doesn't count either.
No,
because Philip, that happened.
That's
Philip.
Right.
That's not flight either.
That's not flying.
That's like boom. Where'd he go?
Yeah. That's like he was here, now he's there.
Yeah, that's translation. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't fly over there.
I think it was safe to say there was no flight.
No, there was no flight.
No, because Paul totally would have used that.
He totally would have.
I'll tell you this: there is definitely evidence in the Bible that flight was available, and here's how I can surmise that, if I'm using that word correctly. If Jesus was able to walk on water, he was definitely able to fly, right?
Oh, sure.
So I would say, and he's raising people from the dead, he had the power of God in him.
He did have...
So I would say flight was definitely accessible.
He could do whatever he wanted to do.
And we don't know that he didn't fly, because it says
all the works are not written here.
All the works are not written here. So he totally could have flew. We don't really know, per se,
wouldn't have enough paper to read all the books, right?
Or to fit in a book.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say there's evidence in the Bible that flight was totally possible. I just never read anything that of any story about involving flight.
Right. It wasn't like Joseph flew from here over there.
Yeah.
You know? So
says that. Joseph flew from here to over there.
So in conclusion,
yes,
it's bull.
Bull in the sense that we can't find evidence that it happened.
Yes.
Okay. Want to make sure we're following the rules here.
We're going with, can you find this in the Bible?
Bull!
Okay. You ready?
It is.
That's bull! Ready for the next one?
Go.
Okay. The Bible speaks of a tidal wave which wiped out a country.
Like a tsunami?
Speaks of a tidal wave. A tsunami, I believe, is a tidal wave, yes. Which wiped out a country.
All right, well, the flood was no tsunami. That was just the whole Megillah.
No, that was not.
I'm going to say bull.
You are right, sir.
Oh!
Bull.
It's building up to you telling me if I'm right or not is intense.
even when you think of like the... You know, the Red Sea splitting.
I was thinking about Moses.
Moses going down in there. Right. When you watch the movie version, it's like there was, you know, two giant walls of water, and then they collapsed on them, and it was almost like a tidal wave, but it wasn't a tidal wave per se, and it didn't wipe out a specific country. It's not like, you know.
Hey, by the way, podcastia, it doesn't mean that we're totally right. We could be wrong on any of these. So if we are, you know, I'm sure you're going to let us know.
I'm sure.
But I just wanted to go on record saying, yeah, let us know.
That's one thing I'm totally sure of, actually.
Yeah, that would say that is a definite.
Somebody will let us know.
Oh, man. Right. I'm telling you, the intensity that builds up to wanting to know if I'm right or not. Oh.
You're sweating it out.
Yeah, it caused me to have a little bit of a sweat going on. Okay.
Just don't spill your coffee anymore.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Go.
There was a day in the Bible when the sun did not go down. Stayed up.
You can find evidence of that in the Bible, I believe. Yes?
That is correct.
Oh, thank you.
That is Bible.
I just don't know where, but it does sound like, wait a minute, I think I know, I think it's Old Testament again.
Yeah, it's Joshua 10, 12 to 14. In fact, this is good. I'm going to read it.
Go.
On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Aijalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. So, yes, that is Bible.
So he lengthened the day.
He did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I need to do that for me sometimes.
Stay up. I know. Yeah, that'd be a good one to call in.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, son, just stay right where you are.
Yeah, if you
I need a couple hours.
You had like a few cards or something, like, you know. Oh, all right, I want to cash in one of my cards. Son, stay up.
No, you're right.
Build up a reserve.
On the card cashing line.
Yeah. I need a couple hours here. Stay up, son.
I'm gonna try. Oh, look at the cloud there. Whoa. Is that coming this way?
I don't know. It's pretty dark over there.
Whoa. I mean, that is dark. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look how light it is here. It's almost black.
Stay over there.
Hey, we're recording a Godcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bother us.
You, son, stay there, and Cloud, you stay there. Try it out right now.
Yeah. Don't
okay, I'm
stay
ready
there.
For the next one.
Oh, you're going to love this one, too. You are going to love this one. More in our vein of some of our...
Okay.
Personal discussions.
Hey, this isn't anything really like sacred cow tipping. It's not really like it at all.
It's different.
I thought it was going to be very, very much the same.
It is different. It's a little different vein, a little different edge here.
Mm.
All right.
Now, that's a different vein. That's V-A-N-E.
No, it's not. It's still a weather vein. A different vein is like if somebody is, you know, they're looking for your vein. Ah, I need a different vein. Yeah, that's a bad vein. That's
they're
still
looking for your vein.
Like a doctor.
Yeah, I got it. V-E-I-N.
You ever draw blood? That's not a good vein. I need another vein.
I know what the word means.
So in a different vein, it's still V-E-I-N here.
Oh, so that's still V-E-I-N.
It's still V-E-I-N.
Okay, don't have to call Bill Farmer.
Vein is like weather vein. That's the only reference I know for vein. All right.
Or vein like being conceited.
conceited. That's also spelled...
V-A-N-E, right?
No.
Really?
That's got to be...
No, that's not V-E-I-N. Because think of the word
V-A-N-E.
Vanity.
It's not...
Now, think of the word vanity.
Yeah.
That's V-A-N-I-T-Y. So that means vein. V-A-N-E. It's not V-E-I-N to be vain.
That would seem to make sense, but I'd have to see it like written.
I wanted to ask Siri. Ask Siri right now. Hang on, I'll ask her.
Hello, how may I help you?
Siri, how do you spell vain as in being conceited?
V-A-I-N.
Oh, we're both wrong.
I knew it wasn't V-A-N-E. V-A-N-E just didn't look
Actually,
right.
We were both kind of right. In a way, we just refused our answers and made a whole other word.
You know what's great? There's nothing random in this podcast. It's very okay. We're going from here to there. And there's this is all totally structured.
Hey, you don't just learn the word here. You learn words. You learn the word and you learn words.
This is just so structured.
So today's
let loose and be ourselves a little bit.
Let me tell you, the English language, I gotta say, is a little annoying. And God bless the people who do it as a second language, an ESL.
Yeah.
You got vain, and vain. Oh.
English is supposed to be one of the hardest languages to learn. So.
I'm glad I was born speaking English. Because if I had to learn English, forget it.
You'd still be trying.
Yeah, 43 years later. 43. I still think I'm 43. 47. I'm going to be 48 in April.
Yeah. You're getting younger. You're getting renewed.
Okay.
Your mind, now, your body.
Where were we? I forgot where we were.
I was on In the Vein. That's how we started.
That's right. In the Vein.
In the same vein of one of our normal discussions, if you could call one of our discussions normal. There is a case in the Bible of a man who turned invisible.
The only thing I can say about that, because Jesus didn't turn invisible.
Right.
He walked through a wall.
Well, he also passed through their midst, it says. He passed through their midst.
But that doesn't mean he was invisible.
No, it doesn't.
We were in Starbucks this morning. I passed through their midst. Doesn't mean they were able to see me, though. That wasn't invisible.
They heard you, that's for sure.
The only thing I can say is the evidence that I would present for this particular oration. Gonna look that up in a minute.
Now we're having an oration.
Would be Enoch. He was no more.
He was no more, but it doesn't say...
He didn't find his body.
It doesn't say they were standing there having a conversation with him, and then, like, poof, he was gone.
I'm going to say bull.
I would say, you are right, sir. That is BS. That's bull.
Oh, man.
I mean, I always looked at Jesus passed through their midst, which was Luke 40 and John 8.
But what does that mean?
59.
That doesn't mean he was invisible.
Well, it doesn't mean his... I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he passed through their midst, so it wasn't his time, and he was just... He walked through them.
Walked through them.
Yeah. Now, right. Maybe their minds were set someplace else, or their vision was distorted, or something like that, but he didn't turn invisible. Like, he just cruised through their midst.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To me, it was always like...
Yeah.
Until the time, he was, you know...
Right.
Prophecy's life insurance.
That's a whole other...
Life insurance. Prophecy is life insurance.
That's right.
It's better than life insurance.
Just like the way you say it. Yeah. The way you said that.
Like he knew.
This one's you, Bobby.
He knew he had to go to the cross, right? So nothing had happened to him until it was...
Until then.
Until his appointed time.
That's right. Because they were going to stone him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, heck with you guys. It's not my time.
But we've already covered flight and now invisibility.
Yeah.
This is an ongoing thing Keith and I talk about. What would you rather be able to do, fly or be invisible? And like his wife Teresa says, I wouldn't want to be invisible because she'd be concerned that she might want to steal shoes from a shoe store.
Well,
which I don't understand.
I mean, being invisible, the only benefit to being invisible is if you want to do something corrupt.
Well, that shows where your mind is at. There's maybe no... I want to go. My only want to be invisible so I could...
We've been through this. Your wife Christina would back me on this. Absolutely.
Listen, don't bring 100%. Her into this. Don't bring her into this, okay?
We're bringing the wives in. We're bringing the wives in.
All right, look. I withdraw involving Teresa. I take it back. Let's keep this between you and me. I'm not involving the wives now. It's a whole other bucket of...
worms.
Trouble. The bucket of caterpillars.
Yeah. Actually, it's a bucket of...
All right, we'll get into that on another
episode. It's a bucket of thick-skinned caterpillars.
We'll get into another episode where we do superhero powers and the Bible.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
That'll be the next one.
Next.
Okay.
There's no...
Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
This is an interesting one.
Mm.
A Christian can lose his salvation. This is a good one. I like this one.
The format of this show is to say if there's any evidence in the Bible that a Christian could lose their salvation.
Right.
I only know of one way, but I can't... I guess I could back it up with the Word. This is... I'm going to have to answer it two ways.
This is like an age-old question.
I'm going to have to answer this two ways. I think it's a very simple question, actually, believe it or not. It's just... In the vein of this show, I want to respect the vein. I want to respect where this is going.
Not V-A-I-N.
I could say this. I'm going to say a Christian cannot lose his salvation short of renouncing Jesus. Now, the only thing I can back that up with in the Bible is if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Romans 10:8.
Right? Yeah. That Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved, that you're saved.
Right.
So I could only imagine if you go the other way with it, that you could lose your salvation.
If you renounce.
Falling away, I'm not going to say is you would lose your salvation. Because people backslide. They're still saved. I'm talking about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is now not Lord and renouncing what you've originally announced, I believe then you could unseal the deal. And I'm just basing it on Romans 10:8.
Like, let's say you just went back to whatever lascivious lifestyle, and you you still believed that your flesh was overcoming you, and you lived like, and your life was in the toilet.
I still think you're saved.
Yeah, you wouldn't see any fruits.
Right.
But still saved.
Right.
Because that's the grace. That's the grace of God.
Oh, and you can't outsmile God's grace.
Yeah.
But if you consciously,
right,
make a decision,
right,
and renounce
it. It says in Hebrews you can't put Jesus on the cross again.
Right.
So you can't, like, renounce him and then come back and, like, wait, now you're Lord again, you know?
See, in respect to this particular episode, I'm trying to find evidence of that. And I could only surmise that if you flip Romans 10:8 and go that way after announcing he's Lord, the only way to lose it, I think, and I don't know, I'm going to wait that tense buildup to find out if I'm right or not, is to renounce him. Okay, here we go. Am I right or not?
I would say you're right.
Oh, really?
I would.
You agree?
I agree.
This is an interesting one, listeners.
It is an interesting one.
Write in about this, because we want to know what you think. Can you find any evidence in the Bible where you could lose your salvation? Why would you renounce? I mean, this is
I think it's so, you know, remote.
Yeah.
I think if you just turn, you go the other way, you decide, because... You know, it's you're a slave to who you worship, whether you worship God or you worship the devil. If you just turn and renounce your belief in Jesus and you now turn around and accept your belief in the devil, or then, you know, it's not anything I can see a whole lot of people doing. I think you can lose your salvation, but your basic Christian, you know, people are like, oh, can I lose my salvation? You know, they're believers, but they're just kind of... wondering, you know, absolutely not. No, there's no way.
And you know,
you'd have to know you lost your salvation. You'd have to know
it. The encouragement, though, here is that if you're worried about that, you're probably nothing to worry about.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're worried about it.
Yeah, if you're worried that you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you probably didn't.
Yeah. I mean, our fight, our struggle against the flesh is evidence that we're saved, that we want to walk with the Lord. That's the struggle. That's evidence right there. People, you know, I did this, I did that, I don't think I'm saved, you know?
Amen. No. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. That's evidence that you are.
Hallelujah. Love it.
Amen. That was a good one.
This is intense, this show.
It's very intense.
I feel like I'm like on the hot seat. Okay.
You are in the hot seat.
No hotter than yours.
Those seats.
You have the coffee spilled on you.
They do heat up. Okay. All right, ready for the next one?
Here we go.
Okay, there's evidence of dinosaurs in the Bible.
I believe in Job.
I like the way you're going here.
But I don't. What?
Nothing.
But I'm going to say yes. There's evidence.
Is that your final answer?
I'm going to say yeah, there's evidence of dinosaurs in the Bible.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, you agree?
Well, Job 41:21 speaks of a fire-breathing dragon. You could probably open its jaws. Its teeth are terrible. Its scales on its back are like rows of shields tightly sealed together. When it sneezes, it flashes light. Its eyes are like the red of dawn. Lightning leaps from its mouth. Flames of fire flash out.
Yeah, he wasn't having a vision. I mean, this thing was actually there.
Yeah. So we know there was a dragon. Do we specifically know there was a dinosaur? I guess it depends on whether or not you consider a dragon a dinosaur. So
I'm still going to say yes. I believe there's somewhere you can find traces of a dinosaur.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll agree on that one. Hmm. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
I just have a feeling this is going to open up a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
With the listeners.
What are you doing?
All right. Okay. All
right. Okay. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Angels, you know, angels, little guys on the wings, floating around in the white, the little angel guys up in the cloud playing the harps.
You mean the little fat little baby kid things with the tiny, Cupid? Yeah.
Angels. Angels.
Those are not angels. Angels are massive.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go.
Cannot kill a person. Angels cannot kill a person.
Huh.
Bible.
Angels.
Or both.
Cannot kill a person. I'm going to say bull. Bull.
You are correct, sir!
I can't stand that buildup! I can't stand it!
Because with the Syrian army, an angel of the Lord killed 185,000
right.
Syrians.
That's right.
185,000.
I had to think about this, man.
He didn't kill one. He killed 185,000. Syria never rose to being a world power again after that.
Wow.
Yeah, angels are not to be messed with.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with them.
An angel can take you out. I believe an angel of the Lord also killed Herod, right? King Herod, after he pronounced himself king, New Testament scripture. That is Acts 12:23. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died.
And you know what's funny? I actually know this. Little sidebar. That angel was the same angel that freed Peter.
Interesting.
So he's knocking one down, and
rescuing another.
Love it. Cool.
So right, angels good. Can kill. Angels. Are you ready for your next question, sir?
Hang on a minute. I need a sip of my latte. Hang on. Okay, Keith, I am ready. That's in the words of the great Richard Bailey, I'm ready, brother man.
Brother man! Lay it on me, brother.
When are we going to have him on the show?
We should.
Man, that would be great. Yeah. He's so mellow.
Brother
Frog, Brother Keith, man.
under the carpet, Mel. Okay, are you ready? Here's your question. Okay. There is a sin which cannot be forgiven.
Absolutely, Bible.
You are correct! Woo! That is Bible.
I will tell you what the sin is.
Go ahead.
Blaspheming Holy Spirit.
You got it. That's Mark 3:29. Which is attributing to the devil the works of God.
That's right. Yep. Bad move.
Bad move. That's bad
move. That is certain death.
So that's one.
Not that God's going to strike you.
No forgiveness.
No forgiveness. And you know what's so interesting? And Tim McDonald says this all the time. That the Father and the Son are very protective, very territorial. Considering Holy Spirit. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, don't blaspheme the Father, don't blaspheme the Son. Mm. It says, don't blaspheme Holy Spirit. Mm. If you do that, oh my goodness. It doesn't say anything about blaspheming the Father or the Son.
Probably because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work.
He's doing all the work. He's got his hands dirty.
Yeah.
He's down here with us.
He's flying around.
He has to put up with us knuckleheads.
Flying over there. running over there. Yeah.
He's flying over here, and he's being invisible over there.
He's running around. He's doing the work. He's doing the work here. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So that's he did his thing.
He's sitting down.
He did the cross thing. Yeah, he's hanging out.
Yeah.
Him and the Father are having a latte or, you know.
The Holy Spirit's trying to get one.
He might be in there getting one right now.
I don't know. He is. He's blessing the police that are in there. Amen.
All right. Ready? Next question?
Okay. That was an easy one.
That was an easy one, right? Got to have an easy one. Mix one in. A little levity. There were some that Jesus chose not to heal.
I'm going to say Jesus never chose to heal or not heal anyone. He was always doing what the Father told him to do. So I'm going to say bull.
I would agree, bull. However,
however was coming.
There were places where he could do no miracles.
Well, that's not his choice, though.
Because that's true. It's not his choice.
Right.
But I'm just saying that there were some that he chose by his choosing not to heal. Like, I'm not going to heal this person. Like, this person came to him for healing, and he said, no, I'm not healing.
No, that's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
Right.
Correct.
So there you go.
It's bull.
There were times when he couldn't heal. He healed a few sick folk.
Places of unbelief.
That's it. He couldn't do
miracles. Mark 6:5. He could not do any miracle there except to lay his hands on a few and heal them. Now, maybe there were others that were just like unbelieving, and he tried to heal them, and they weren't healed.
Wasn't his
choice. That's the main thing here. He wants all to be healed.
Well, yes.
God wants all to be saved.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Check this out. I'm going to just go on record here with a recorded documented correction for you.
This is on record?
This is a correction for Keith Axum from Frank Sasso. I'm going to void the usage of your however because it doesn't fit. Because it wasn't his choice. Voiding the however. Sorry, null and void.
Well, we agree.
Yes.
That Jesus wanted everyone healed. Everyone that came to him for
absolutely
healing, he healed.
Agree. Right? Absolutely agree. Yes.
Okay. Amen. That's the main point.
Yes.
It was the heart of God mm-hmm. that he chooses to heal. He doesn't choose to heal some and not heal others.
No.
That's the point.
You know what Christina would say?
What?
And I'm bringing her into this for a minute, just as a point.
Yeah.
She preached this a few times. She said, you know, sometimes people ask me, do you believe God heals today? And she says, no, I don't believe God heals today.
He healed 2,000 years
ago. He already did it.
Yeah.
You're already healed.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So it always raises an eyebrow or two when she says that initially.
Coming from a place of healing.
Right.
Right.
I'm now healed. I don't have to ask to be healed if I'm already healed. I just
you might ask
that it
manifest. You might say, I have healing. It's mine.
You
I am healed, and now I
manifest.
Demand.
Yeah, you demand that healing to manifest.
Over the work of your
God's
hands,
not manifesting
Lord.
It.
Over the work of his hands, we demand.
Command him ye.
Command ye me.
Command ye
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Yes, command ye
I haven't commanded the King James language yet. It's sort of like
or the English one.
Yeah, vain, vain, vain. Okay. Next.
Okay. Next. Next. Ready? This is a fun one. Becoming a Christian is a hard, complicated thing.
To answer the question, becoming a Christian is a hard, complicated thing.
And you already brought up the scripture.
In vain of this episode, I can find no evidence, sir, in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's hard or difficult to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is very easy.
Becoming a Christian.
So I would say that is bull!
That is bull! That is bull, sir.
Thank you for not making me wait that time.
Yes.
That was very nice of you.
Romans, 10:8. We mentioned it before.
That's
you
it.
Believe you with your heart, you confess with your mouth. How hard is that?
That's not hard at all.
That's not hard.
Now, wait a minute.
Not like you're going out raking the lawn or shoveling snow.
Who's
or
so it's hard
not,
about raking the lawn?
It's not work. If you got a lot of leaves, it's work.
Well, I guess so. Just pay a kid to do it. Sit back and have a latte. That's easy. But here's the thing, Keith.
Yeah.
Once you become a Christian, I would say it's challenging at times to walk some stuff out. I would say that's sometimes hard, sometimes challenging.
Yeah, but that's not the act of becoming a Christian.
Yeah, becoming a Christian is not difficult at all.
Right, right.
At all. Amen. Okay. Cool.
That was the main question there. Yeah, walking it out is a little different. All right, ready?
Go.
God wishes that all are saved. That is Bible or bull.
I can find evidence in the Bible, John 3:16, that is...
Find evidence!
Bible.
That is correct. Yes. That is Bible.
Because he loved the world so much that he gave his only son.
The scripture reference
the world
that I'm using is 1 Timothy 2:24. He wishes that all are saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah. How can Paul say that to Timothy? Because John said it in 3:16. That's how he's able to know that God wishes for all to be saved.
Right.
For God so loved the world. That's everybody, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one that people don't go over is John 3:17. And he came into the world not to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved.
Mm.
So he didn't come to condemn. And that's God, you know, he's with his big stick. He's giving me a hard time here. He's ready to take me out. No, he didn't come to condemn. Did not come to condemn the world.
He loved the world.
He loved the world.
For God so much loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever remaineth in him shall not die, but live on.
Thanks, Sasso.
That's from the group Burlap to Cashmere. You ever hear that group?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, you know, hang on a minute. I'm going to take it. Listeners, listen to this. Listen to this music. Listen to this song. It's from a group called Burlap to Cashmere, which is a very interesting name of a band.
Mm.
Christine and I heard this group. We were in a bookstore once in New York, and they were playing this music upstairs. It was a live band. Listen to this. This is very cool. Listen to this, Keith. Mm.
praise and worship is broken out in the Starbucks.
Keep it rocking out. Yes, the world is narrow. Yes, the world is cat.
Oh, what were we doing? Were we doing something?
We just sometimes now we break out into song. This is the second time this has happened today.
Oh, my gosh. Heck of a day already here. Heck of a day. All right, we
okay.
just have a few more to get through.
Okay.
Inquiring minds want to know. Ready?
Here we go.
All right. Prosperity is a blessing according to the Bible. It's a blessing, prosperity. It's not a curse. It's a blessing.
Okay. Now, again, just providing evidence that you can find this in the Bible.
Yes.
Since poverty is a curse,
mm-hmm.
and prosperity is a form of an opposite of poverty, I would say that that is Bible.
That is Bible.
Yeah, baby! Yeah,
so this walking around being impoverished does not make you more godly. Being broke does not equate to godliness.
No, broke doesn't work.
I'm looking at Psalm 35:27. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. He doesn't delight in the poverty of the servant. God's not broke. Psalm 112, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous man. I mean, it's all over the place.
It's all over! All over the place.
You became poor that you might become rich.
Well, that's spiritual riches.
No, it's bucks.
And also in Three-Eyed John. I say Three-Eyed John.
Three-Eyed. Three-Eyed.
John 3. You know, the
sounds
third
like
letter.
The name of a band. Three-Eyed John.
Three-Eyed John. Verse 2. I wish above all things that you prosper. Be in good health. Even as your soul prospers. So he wants your mind to prosper. And he wants you to prosper.
Yeah. What is he, like a horrible father? He just wants you to be impoverished?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. He wants you to be sick.
No.
That's a good father, right?
That's bull.
Yeah, that is bull.
That's bull, baby.
It's double bull. Super bull.
That's BS.
That is bull doo-doo. Ready?
Yes.
Jesus loved one disciple more than the others. Is that Bible or bull?
Okay. Now, hang on a minute. In the book of John, let me just think this out loud for a minute.
Okay. Think it out loud.
In the book of John, John talks about himself as being the most beloved of the Lord. I remember asking Christina, is John really the most beloved? And she said, well, according to John, he is. So
I like the vein.
We should
I like the vein.
Think that we are, but I would say my answer, final answer, by the way, would be evidence is lacking in the Bible to back up the statement that Jesus loved one disciple more than any others. So I would say my final answer is bull.
That's
final
bull.
Answer. Bull!
Bull!
Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull! Bull!
That is a pile of load of crap. He didn't love one more than the other. He's writing the darn book. If you're writing the book, he loves you more than everyone else. That was John. He loves all of us. I'd say he loves me more than you. You'd say he loves you more than me.
Why don't we get all heated on that one?
Put ourselves in a lather there. All right, we got to cheer up here.
Oh, okay. God.
This is way too somber. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Go to the next question. Oh, man.
All right.
If people, like, looked in on us as we're doing
somebody
it.
Somebody just did.
They'd be like, what?
Came out
those
just with her coffee.
What is
and she's
wrong
like,
with those guys?
Looking and like the windows are foggy.
One guy has a paper. The windows are steaming up.
Yeah, the guy's holding up the microphone. Like, what's going on here? All right, you ready? For the final question. The final question. We are coming in for a landing, folks.
Okay.
And I know you're going to love this one.
Oh, ask it already.
You are going to like this one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bible.
Or you're right there.
Bull.
I'm choke on your word.
I'm not sure.
Like, why don't you have some water?
I'm not sure over
you. You got 16 bottles of water on the floor here. Why don't you have one of them? All right, go ahead.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Everything written in the Bible is true. Everything written in the Bible is true.
Everything written in the Bible is true. However, everything written in the Bible may not be truth. Like, it says in the Bible, it's true that it says in the Bible, Jesus is of Beelzebub. It's true that that was said of him, but mm-hmm. it's not truth. So, everything in the Bible is true. I'm going to say, yes, that is true. That is Bible. That there is evidence of that in the Bible, that everything in there is true. So, yes, final answer.
Okay, so would you say you can look at anything, any particular line in the Bible, read a sentence out of any scripture, and you can say that's true?
Yes, but I can't say everything written in the Bible is truth.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but and that's what I'm getting at.
Okay, so...
Is everything in, written in the Bible, I guess I could...
True?
Truth.
Final answer. True? Oh, wait a truth. Minute.
That was my question.
Okay, so everything in the Bible is truth? I'm going to say no. Bull. Bull.
I would agree.
Amen.
Woo! Bull. Oh. Because Job said, God gives and takes away.
That's bull.
That is bull.
No, but it's true that he said it.
It's true that he said it.
But it's not truth.
It's not truth.
Because I was just answering your question.
Right.
Okay, see how important
yeah.
words are?
Yeah.
I was answering your question. Oh, it's true that he yes. said that. It's not truth, though.
Yes.
Amen. I like that.
Exactly.
I like
Job 1:21. God does not take away.
Ooh.
He's good. We just went over that. Is he good?
Back to question
all the time?
One.
That's right.
He's good all the time.
He's good all the time.
Hey!
How good is he if he takes away? It's like, hey, there you go. Whoop! Ah! You don't have it anymore.
That's God doing that.
Yeah. Whoop! He does that. Makes that sound.
Laughing at you. Hey, you don't have it anymore. I love the characterization of him. Oh, that false, that
go.
Untrue
it's
characterization.
Like, here it is. Here it is. It's like a shell game.
Whoosh, whoop. Oh, almost had it.
Forget it. Oh,
psych.
Almost.
Psych.
Almost. Almost. You almost prospered there. You almost were healed there. Almost.
That was fun.
I pulled it out from under you.
That was fun. That was not... I tell you, that was... I told
Christina... It was different, right?
I told Christina yesterday, I said...
We thought it was going to be same old, same old.
This is going to be just like the tipping cow thing.
Because we always say the same
right.
things.
Right, exactly.
We always say the same things.
This was
always,
making this...
Always.
I was sweating with some of this. I had to rethink. And that build-up
well,
sound
I'm
effect.
I'm sure there's
what
more.
That?
I'm sure there's more.
That was a lot of fun, my man.
We'll have to do another round.
That was fun. I gotta say, we gotta do that again. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of stuff.
Hey, Podcastia. This was cool. I hope you had a good time. We really had...
God knows we did.
I hope you had as much fun as we had doing this.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Holy cow.
So the next installment, I'm gonna have some questions to ask you.
Ah,
see how you like it.
I'll be the audience.
Yeah. Just don't spill coffee on me.
Shit.
I'm a big baby.
Yeah,
I'll scream.
I'll try not to.
Look, you're all stained.
Look, I'm all stained over here. Got to go to work. I'm all stained over here.
Hey, podcast.
Been fun.
Remember
enjoyed
this.
It.
Yeah, we love you. God loves you. You still, you know, we've been doing Godcast now.
Jesus.
You still just don't get it, do you?
We love
how
you,
to
God.
Close it out.
God
Listen,
loves
I
you.
I say.
We love you.
We love
God
you,
loves you.
And then I also say, God loves you. And then we say together.
Jesus.
And Jesus is Lord.
Lord,
stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
Okay, you would think you'd know this by now. All right, let's try it again.
I'm caffeined up here.
Yes. That's no excuse for unprofessionalism. Is that the right word even? Or is it non-professionalism?
Back to the words. Oh, my God.
Re-professionalism. Siri, what?
Siri.
Okay.
Siri.
Let's focus. Listeners, remember this. We love you.
Love you.
Stop speaking. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus. Oh, my goodness. We can't close out.
Let's try again.
You want some water?
Well, right now.
Right. Hey, listeners. Remember this, until next time, we love you, God loves you, And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.